The text for this morning. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So we have come to know and believe the love God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, who he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother. During this time of the year, you might have seen homes decorated, and on the mantle above the fireplace, in block letters, are the words joy, peace, and love. And on artwork, plaques, all kinds of home decor, you'll see those same themes. I think our challenge is that we hear the word love in so many ways that we've kind of blended it together. I love chocolate. Kind of gets blended in with I love my wife. I love sports. Gets blended in with I love my grandkids. I love to read a good book. Gets blended in with I love fishing. And we use this word in all kinds of ways, in all kinds of sentences and contexts, and yet we kind of just have this numbness. When we come to the scripture, what is God talking about? Oh, love. Oh, it means like liking chocolate, or enjoying a good book, or having downtime, or peace and quiet. I just love that. And we would miss it all together. In the preparation of celebrating Christmas, the prayer is that God would stir by the power of his Holy Spirit his love in us. And it has nothing to do with pizza and chocolate and sports and books and everything else in that sense. It has to do with him. When it talks about God is love, it's more than just a characteristic, it's his essence. And we see that essence, that love in action, when the Bible tells us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That kind of love. But when we hear that, we still get confused. Watching a nature program about bears recently, you know, here comes a male bear, big fella, you know, and mama bear's got two cubs, and she knows that this male bear will kill those cubs, whether they're his own or whether they're from somebody else. Mama will protect her cubs. She will give her life for those cubs. And she sort of got in the face of the male bear and showed pure aggression in that sense. And we would say, boy, that's love, just like in the Bible. You know, greater love hath no man than this, that one would lay down his life. You know, we think of that kind of connection. But actually, there's a disconnect in there. Because this is about nature. About the next generation surviving. And a mother bear will do all that she can. And this male bear, he's about himself. And he will do everything he can to protect his turf, his food source, and future mates. And so to dominate He will kill even the young ones. It's still not about God's love for that mama's bear. Because this mother bear is concerned about survival. And that survival time is limited. God's love is concerned about eternity. And that is endless. The other thing about God's love is God's love is for people who are a mess. Think about whom you have loved at times. And it's people who have pleased you, a people who make you laugh or happy, a people whom you respect. And you have this emotion, this passion, this care for them. And we call that love. And yet, when we think about God's kind of love, it's for a people that offended him, a people that took his name in vain, a people that neglected him, did not worship him. It's for a people who knew the rules and did the exact opposite. It's for a people that actually turned away from the one true God to another God. And we call that idolatry. And yet God still says, I love you. Can you do that? Imagine, you know, can you love people who are messy? More than just messy, people who are offensive. Could you be a caregiver to some of the most offensive criminals, whatever that would be for you? Could you be a caregiver? Or would you rather say, let them rot? God, in sending Christ to live, to die, to rise again, did so out of this kind of love. And that's what this lesson is about. The kind of God's love is not the love that we hear in our secular definition of Christmas. It's not about simple tolerance or acceptance. It's not about, oh, I just love shopping. It's not about that. And it's not about, I love gift giving. It's not about that. It's about unconditional care and love toward people around us. And the question is, how does that happen? Is there anybody you don't like? Are there people that you can't stand? Are there people who just rub you the wrong way? I hope it's not me. But think about it. If God said today, I want you to love, now fill in the blank of who that is, okay? Would you say, yes, Lord? And the reality is we go, no way. When, as we prepare for Christmas, the preparation is about redefining our definition of love away from human kind of limits, capacity, definitions, and focus, and it is now receiving God's word about this is love. It changes our natural heart, which is actually dead in sin and very unloving, more self-absorbed than anything else. It changes our natural heart into a heart that is alive in Christ, a heart that loves God. It is his love being returned toward him. It is to love him in all ways, in all, you know, and it is to love him for what he says, even though there are times we don't want to hear it. Because out of love, God speaks to us his truth. When he says, don't do that, sometimes he tells us why in his word. Because that's not my way. But when we love ourselves more than we love God, guess which way we choose? We choose our own way, our own path. And the craziest thing is we think we're right. I know what's best for me. Have you ever said that or thought that? I remember as a kid, I did. Now that I'm older, I know every time I said it, I was absolute idiot. I was wrong. God's love, as He is love, knows what is best for us. And He puts that kind of love in our heart that renders our surrendering to Him. It brings about a letting go of self and a lifting up of living not only because of God, but for God. When we start to look at ourselves with that kind of love in our heart, it's almost like our glasses are changed. We recognize our sinful nature. We recognize the kinds of things we do. I mean, you know your strengths and weaknesses, right? Both physically, mentally, and spiritually. And yet, because of Christ's love for us, as He died for us, in that truth, we learn that we accept ourselves. We accept ourselves because God says He has chosen us as lovable. Not worthy of His love, but He has chosen us as lovable. There's a big difference in there. You see, our current definition, our worldly definition about love is worthiness, aptitude, characteristics, fortitude, enduring, and all kinds of things. But this is about loving ourselves even though we are unworthy of that. And when Christ gave Himself up for us, we begin to see just how loving God is. And that's what He puts in our heart. And then we lift that back to God, and it's reflected back on ourselves. Yes, I am the poor, miserable sinner that has been lifted up by Christ, crucified Christ alive. I am imperfect, and yet I'm covered with the righteousness of Christ. That's how I accept myself. And then the third part of this kind of love, you heard it. Whoever hates his brother and says, I love God, is a liar. Now this word hate is a judgment word. It's not about, well, I don't like what you do. I don't like that shirt with those pants. You know, I don't like the way you did your hair. Did you know that makes you look fat? You know, kind of stuff. It's not that kind of hatred. It's a hatred for the human being that is and existing in your presence. It is a hatred about who they are as alive. It's not just about characteristics. And any part of that that we start to shun or turn away from actually begins to say, I no longer love you. When I lived in Japan, it was interesting in that culture that when a child, adult person, does something that it offends the family, where there is a loss of what they call face, a loss of credibility and dignity and respect, okay? They will actually treat that person as if they have died. If they're in the same room, they won't, in that sense, see them. If they're talking, it's as if there's no sound. And on it goes. They do not exist. In a way, in America, we have that same tune, don't we? Where we shun, we ignore, we turn away from others. Not only in their needs, but sometimes, just generally speaking, we're so self-absorbed. You know how we do that? One simple way that our culture shows us how to do that. We text and drive. Do you understand how loving that is? I have a request. Your Christmas gift to me would be to not do that. And why is it a gift to me? Because it will save me from going to somebody's house where there's been an accident and a loss of life. And I have to tell them somebody was so self-absorbed that someone died. It's the only thing I think that if we communicate that to enough people or take them with us when we have to go to that door, and said this person was texting and driving. They didn't care about the world. They didn't care about everybody else on the road. Their life was more important than anybody else's safety. We do it in such a simple way, as if we are entitled to not love. And now they said on the news, it's getting worse. It's not just texting and driving or talking on the phone and driving. Now they're surfing the net, doing YouTube or whatever else it is that you want to do on the net. I can't think of the most simplest way to describe unloving than that. Can you? In this is love. That while people, yes, there may be reckless drivers, there may be speeders, there may be people who run the yellow light or the red light even. You know, and this is love. Christ put His love in us that even though they are offensive, we watch out for them. That our own choices become loving and our own perspective becomes serving as God's instruments of care and compassion in a world that is messy. You see, God's kind of love is more than just buying a gift. It's giving of our heart, our attention, and our focus to other people's well-being and safety instead of just trying to fit a new shirt or buy the best gadget. It is to care. This is preparation for Christmas. The gift giving is a representation of what's in our heart, of giving of ourselves. It's not about the dollar value. It is about the heart that comes with it. My grandma sent me a dollar every Christmas. That dollar didn't go far, but it was the greatest Christmas. Every one of the kids looked forward to the envelope with a dollar from Grandma because it told us of her heart. In this is love. God is love. And as we have His love in us, we not only love Him, but we love others. To the glory of His name. Amen.